The Urban Beat with Larry Whatley. The issues, the answers, the Urban Beat on Hot 97.3.
And we want to welcome you to the Urban Beat Show. I have a special guest with me here today. You may be aware of the seriousness of the opioid problem, and some people call it an epidemic. And we're going to talk about that today because this problem affects a lot of different backgrounds, and it's called the opioid addiction crisis. So that's what we're going to discuss today. My guest is Walter Wienkel, and he's the director of SUD Services. So, Walter, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
I want to make sure that people know where you're from, first of all, and how they can reach you.
Okay. I am from Unison Health. We're located around downtown Toledo as well as in Wood County. Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 419-214-HOPE, and that will get you connected to any of the services you may need in any of our locations.
Okay. I have been hearing probably for the past several years about opioids and the seriousness of opioids. Can you first of all tell me, is opioid something that we are used to taking? And I know at one point it was probably everybody said you got to take this in order to get over this pain or whatever. Mm-hmm. So what are opioids exactly?
Opioids are a class of narcotics that are given primarily to relieve some form of pain. The stronger the opioid, as you move up the scale, is supposed to be the higher level of pain that you would be under to require that drug.
Mm-hmm. So if the pain gets to be unmanageable or high, then you get a stronger dose of the opioid?
You would either get a stronger dose of the opioid, or it could be possible that your doctor would switch your class of narcotic. A lot mm-hmm. of times when you go to the dentist, you can get Percocet 5 milligrams. There are some dentists, I just had a colleague that's daughter had her four wisdom teeth removed and was prescribed 10 Oxycontin, which is a next step up from Percocet in terms of strength as well as the ability to develop a physical tolerance to that drug.
I've heard a lot about Oxycontin as well, and it seemed to me from what I heard, it's like something that you should stay away from because isn't it being distributed like illegally too?
All these drugs are being distributed illegally. Fentanyl is a big one that you hear about on the news because of the small amount that's needed to cause an overdose. Any of these drugs in any amount can cause somebody to overdose if they're not careful with the narcotic.
If you're not used to narcotics, is something like fentanyl something that you should stay away from, or should you have warnings about it?
I would not offer medical advice, but I would say that you should definitely follow your doctor's orders. And if you're feeling anything but the pain relief from that narcotic, you should definitely let your doctor know as soon as possible.
Hmm.
Because it can, a lot of our patients and clients that we have at Unison started off with a back injury or some form of injury, and then it kind of spiraled out of control from there.
So let's talk a little bit about Unison, what you provide there.
We provide the full continuum of care. So we have a detox unit for individuals going through the physical withdrawal of substances. We have two residential treatment centers where they can stay as they're recovering from a substance. Have room and board provided for them, learn the daily living skills they would need to live a sober life. And then once they complete that, we have both independent housing as well as we can get them worked with community housing, and we start outpatient programming after that.
So if someone who is being prescribed an opioid, is it automatic that they're going to be affected abnormally by it or addicted to it?
No. So there's going to be a difference between a dependence and an addiction. I myself drink Diet Mountain Dew like it's going out of style.
Yeah.
So we've all, if any of us drink caffeine, get that wonderful wraparound headache where you can just feel it and you can take as much Tylenol or Advil as you want. And no matter what you do, it doesn't go away until you take a sip of, for me, Diet Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
And once I do that, the headache disappears. That's a physical tolerance. My body is used to that drug, and it will cause a pain, a withdrawal symptom, if I don't have it. That's the same thing that's happening for people that are addicted to opiates. The only difference is I'm not knocking over a convenience store. I'm not doing something to jeopardizing my career or my family, my friends, to obtain the pop, whereas somebody with an addiction to any drug, cocaine, crack, opiates, is starting to jeopardize their livelihood or their family in order to achieve that drug or continue using that drug.
So what's in the family of opioids? You mentioned cocaine being one.
Cocaine would not. That would be a stimulant. The opioids would be over-the-counter, and these are brand names, are Vicodin, Oxycontin, Percocets, Opana, codeine, and then you have fentanyl and morphine. Are most of your opioids that are coming over-the-counter. And then you have street drugs like heroin, which are considered an opioid as well. As well as what's called China, which is usually a combination of heroin and fentanyl.
So all of that are serious drugs, not correct, to be really played with.
Correct.
To be prescribed for the most part.
I would not prescribe most of those drugs, not a doctor, unless the person was under severe pain. Because the big thing to remember is that all of these drugs that I just listed, besides heroin and fentanyl, have a medicinal purpose. They have good medicinal purposes.
Mm-hmm.
It is the misuse of these medications, the overuse, that causes or can start somebody down the road to addiction.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people can take 4 Percocets and never touch them again. There are other people where, based upon their genetic makeup, based upon their biological makeup, based upon their living environment, there's a lot of factors that can come into play, but those 4 Percocets could be the things that start them down the road to an addiction. So that's kind of the scary part, is unless you've taken them, you don't really know if you're going to be somebody that's going to become an addict to this drug or going to develop a tolerance to it, or if you're just going to take it and be able to put it down like anything else.
I know there are a lot of stars, celebrities who take these drugs on a regular basis, but I don't know if they're being prescribed or if they just take them from off the street or something like that. But either way, you have to be careful about getting you're not a doctor, but are they given warnings when this is prescribed to you that it can be addictive?
Yes. In my experience, I have been, just anecdotally talking about myself, I have been warned by my doctors, I have been warned by my pharmacists that this is a potentially addictive drug. The DEA does classify all of these drugs as a Schedule 1 or 2 substance, which means they have a high likelihood for a tolerance and a high likelihood for abuse or misuse. So the news is out there. I don't know that anybody's going to be caught off guard that opiates can be addictive, especially as far as we are in with this crisis right now. But it could happen that they're unaware, or they're unaware of the amount they're taking could cause them to have a physical dependence on the drug. That's where a lot of people get caught, is they'll start taking a drug for, say, a back issue or a back pain. Totally the legitimate reason doctor prescribed the narcotic. As they continue, we've been having this big push of lessening the amount of narcotics being prescribed. So the individual with that back injury now has less of this legal drug available to them, because the system is making it harder and harder and harder to prescribe opiates. So this person may now have a physical dependence on this drug, and with that physical dependence comes a sickness when you stop taking it much worse than a wraparound headache that they're going to try to avoid. And that's where you get that person that transitions from obtaining this drug and legally and doing all the things they may need to do during the day to be a functioning member of society, if you will, into somebody that's now struggling with an addiction or a dependence onto a drug.
Because we're talking about not the people that you see out on the street. We're talking about everyday people, business people, working women. Mm-hmm. So this is not something that a lot of people have misconceptions about it. This is something that could happen to anyone.
Yep. I would probably bet most of the money in my wallet, which isn't all that much, that you have some form of opiate in your medicine cabinet at home right now.
And if
it's not monitored, if it's not known, it can be taken by somebody that does know what it's used for and misused. And so we gave out a lot of this narcotic in the past. Specifically, OxyContin is the big one that's now getting sued, and all those other legal actions are falling against them by the states.
Yeah.
But it's also Percocets. It's also other opioids that are out there that can get you addicted just as easily.
Yeah, and I've heard these names before as a pain reliever. I've never talked to someone who is addicted to it. But if you have a toothache, or someone in my family had a root canal the other day, they probably automatically prescribe some of these opioids.
I would be surprised if they wouldn't, yes. Mm-hmm. Usually if we have our clients go to the dentist, is one of the most dangerous places for somebody in recovery to go, because you really have to be in your square, in your space of sobriety, because the dentists sometimes just prescribe narcotics without really thinking about the individual that may be addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And tooth pain is a very, very bad pain. So that's a time where this form of narcotic would be necessary.
How serious do you think the problem is here in Northwest Ohio?
Bad. I would go with, in the community, we have 122 beds for detoxification from narcotics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just those funded by the Lucas County Mental Health Board. We also have for-profit entities that do detox. And I would imagine at any point in time, probably 100 or so of those beds are filled with somebody that's detoxing for something. The main thing from that is opiates. We are starting to see a shift in the community towards a stimulant. Cocaine, crack, methamphetamines are starting to come back a little bit more, but right now we still we see opiates more than anything else in the community.
There's something called Narcan.
Correct.
What does that do?
Narcan is a medication that you can get for discounted cost at the Lucas County Health Department, or can get over the counter, I believe, at any of the pharmacies. I know Kroger made a big push to get that out, but it is a reversal agent. So if somebody overdoses on an opiate, they have a Narcan kit. It's very similar to like a Flonase spray.
Mm-hmm.
You spray it up the nostrils of the individual that is dead, and it knocks the opiates off of the brain and brings them back to life. The big thing with a Narcan kit is that you still need to call 911, and it may take multiple Narcan kits to get somebody to come back. So the big thing is, if you have somebody in your family, I would call the Lucas County Health Department. They are very good at helping people just have one, just in case, because you never know if somebody happens to fall out or overdose near you. I have one in my desk at my office just in case. Haven't had to use it yet, but most people at Unison have one in their desk just to be safe.
Do you advise that everyone has something like that?
Not everyone. I would go with if you have somebody that's in recovery, if you have somebody that is an active user of this particular narcotic, that you can have it. It's like a first aid kit. It's it goes bad after 3 years or 2 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you will have to replace it at some point in time, but it's very preventative. And if they have overdosed, if somebody's overdosed, they're technically dead. So you're not going to necessarily hurt them by giving them this medication to try to bring them out of that. So if everybody could get it, yeah, I don't see where that would be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the treatment that you provide for people at Unison, how do they get to the point where they need your help?
A lot of people say they have to hit their bottom. But you don't necessarily have to do that. You just have to have a desire to do something different. We can do all the interventions, provide all the wraparound services humanly possible to you. But the thing that's needed most is to understand that you're powerless over this drug and that your life has become unmanageable. You got to do that first step. Most people are not willing to admit the first part of the first step, but they're willing to say that their life's become unmanageable, and we can work with that.
Once someone says that they're hooked on a particular opioid, they probably don't know where else to go or who to call for help.
Correct.
But there is help available.
Correct. You could call the Lucas County Health Department. Lucas County Health Department's a great resource. Lucas County Mental Health Board is a great resource. United Way 211 is a wonderful resource to call. Obviously, I'm going to say that Unison is the best place you could possibly call because mm-hmm. we can do all the services possible. But there's Zeph and Harbor and a Renewed Mind and New Concepts and a variety of agencies within the county that are helping and working together, as well as DART. I forgot about DART, as well as DART to overcome this problem. So we're really trying to come at it from a community perspective, which is nice to see.
When you go into a detox program, what's involved with that and how long does it take for someone to be successfully detoxed?
It depends on at Unison we have a couple paths if mm-hmm. you're coming in for opiates. You can have a pure detox path, which means that we would take you from taking whatever opiates you were taking to clean. So you don't have any, not clean, sober. So you don't have any narcotics in your system. And we would do that through the use of comfort medications to help you deal with the withdrawal symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that come to our detox that are looking to get onto that maintenance drug. And that may be necessary, like Suboxone, because the rest of their living situation doesn't really support a recovery of just being sober. So that one takes up to 5 days. And then we can taper somebody and get them on the Vivitrol injection or oral version of Vivitrol. And that'll take anywhere from 10 to 14 days, depending on what they've been using before they came into the center.
And once they take that, they basically are, I don't know if you say cured or what, but they're off of the addictive part of it.
If they take Suboxone, they are continuing to use a substance that is considered an opiate. It's buprenorphine, but it is an opiate that's called a partial agonist. In other words, it will only allow them to feel well, for lack of a better word. It won't cause them to, it will be harder to get high on buprenorphine. Vivitrol is an antagonist, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that means it's a complete blocker of both opiate and alcohol. So if they try to use an opiate or they try to drink, they won't get the euphoric effects from the use of that. But as we talked about earlier, opiates are used for good reasons and medicinal reasons. So they need to have an alert bracelet allowing EMS or the hospitals to know not to give them opiates because it won't work as well as it should.
Mm-hmm. From experience, people who have had heart problems and go into rehab and they're issued medications like on a daily basis. And I believe that one or two of these drugs is commonly used for people who have had heart attacks or heart problems, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that to be the case?
I do not know which drug that would be. I know that our medical team clears everybody through blood testing and would take into account their heart issues. Mm-hmm. The main issue that we see with opioids is a liver enzyme test. So is their liver capable of metabolizing the narcotic or metabolizing the Vivitrol in a way that's healthy and doesn't further damage their liver? But we do an entire check to make sure that we're not going to actually cause more harm than good by giving these drugs to people to help relieve the symptoms of withdrawal.
I know there are people who cannot go to sleep.
Correct.
They cannot sleep. I remember Michael Jackson some years ago, he was given some kind of drug that was to help him sleep, but I guess he was overdosed on it.
Correct.
What drug was that?
I believe that was propofol.
Propofol.
Yep. That's mm-hmm. a really, really heavy opiate, if I'm correct on that. Mm-hmm. Like used for surgery type opiate. But that showed his tolerance. He progressed from starting with just potentially a sleep aid. And over the years of him needing something to quote unquote sleep, his doctor got to a point where he was prescribing such a high dose that it ended up causing him to overdose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a progression over time that was what caused him to likely OD.
Mm. So what kinds of other things that you provide at Unison that the public should be aware of?
We provide basic mental health treatment, counseling, therapy, group therapy for mild to moderate as well as severe mental health disorders.
Mm-hmm.
We provide medicated-assisted treatment as well as traditional abstinence-based treatments for the use of narcotics, as any narcotics. And we are partnered with the Neighborhood Health Association to allow for physical health exams at our center,
mm-hmm.
as well as Genoa Pharmacy is located within our centers, so that the idea is that the client can come in, see their counselor, see their doctor, perhaps even a case manager, turn around, see their family doctor, and then pick up all the medication all within one building.
Mm-hmm.
So both of our locations on Woodruff and Star have that ability.
Okay. Do you see us turning the corner to this, or are we still being overwhelmed by it?
I personally and professionally believe we're turning the corner on it. I think the media is aware, which is great. When I started doing this back in 2013, I probably wouldn't have been invited on the air. Nobody knew what Suboxone was. Nobody knew about this issue that was going on. What we have to do now, in my opinion, my professional opinion, is set up an environment in the community for these people to come back into. How do we get a job? Because they've had multiple arrests, they've had probation, and nobody may be willing to give these individuals a chance. With our recovery house, I'm trying to leverage the skilled trades unions to potentially allow some of these individuals to be apprentices, in which we will pay for like their class and their academy, but that would get them a good paying job, a career, not just a job,
mm-hmm.
and give them that second chance and or that ability to start over. So I think that's our next step, is reintegration, for lack of a better word, and accepting of people with addictions that are in recovery back into society in Toledo.
One of the main things is to be in recovery.
Correct.
Before you take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What would you advise to people who maybe suspect that they're addicted to opioids? What would you advise them to do?
Just talk to somebody. You can call any of the clinics. Call AA, NA, Harbor, Zeph, Unison. And, I mean, you can call me. I'm more than happy to talk to you and help you figure out what your options are. You may not be ready to come in and get full treatment yet, and that's okay. We don't have to necessarily start with you have to get clean, you have to be sober. A lot of people aren't quite there yet, some people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, so they're showing up in the door, banging in on it, trying to get in. Other people are resistant, which is fine. It's just meeting you where you're at and trying to get you to a place where you're comfortable. If you're, say, using opiates but don't want to stop smoking pot, that's okay. We're not going to tell you you have to quit everything. We're just going to work with you to get you to the point where you're stable and happy and healthy. We'd love for you to quit smoking pot. Don't get us wrong. We would love for you to be entirely clean. Mm-hmm. But if that's not what you have in terms of where you see yourself being for the rest of your life, that's your choice. It's still illegal, but it's your choice.
Yeah, yeah. But at this point, it's, you know, whatever gets you through the day until you can come in for treatment, and then we can get you some better help in terms of getting you through the day.
Correct. And maybe we can find something that helps, because a lot of times it's a heck of a lot easier to find a drug dealer than it is a psychiatrist.
Mm.
So if I can't fall asleep, and I can find some pot, I'm going to smoke some pot to fall asleep rather than find a psychiatrist. If you can come to an agency and we can help you find a non-addictive way to help you fall asleep, whether that be through meditation, yoga, sleep therapy, looking at your sleep hygiene, or even starting you on a low dose of a sleep aid, that's going to be probably a better option in the long term than continuing your use of THC. But it's really hard to get in the door sometimes and find that.
Mm.
The wait list for a psychiatrist can be pretty long.
Wow. Well, how would you advise people contact you or one of the other services if they need help like now?
If they need help like now, I would go with Rescue Crisis, would be one of the main branches to go to. That's 419-255-9585. You also have Unison's number of 419-214-HOPE. And then I don't remember Zeph or Harbor's number or the other people's numbers, so I apologize. But 211 will be able to tell you what beds are available, where they're at, as well as the Lucas County Mental Health Board. They are very, very good now at collaborating, finding out. They speak to us on a weekly basis, if not daily basis, just wanting to know, Walter, are your beds full? Okay, well, let's call over to Zeph. Do they have beds? Let's call over to UTMC. Do they have availability? So we are really working as a community to try to help people who want to get help today.
Mm. I've talked with people from Harbor and gotten information in terms of the seriousness of this disease. It's like increasing by the hundreds, like every year or every 3 or 4 years before it starts to go down. There's got to be a point where you can say, you know, we're starting to beat this thing. It's going to take some time and effort, but it depends a lot on the person.
Correct.
Making that decision that they're going to beat this.
Correct. The national average is roughly 7 times in and out of rehab before somebody's able to maintain their recovery. That doesn't mean that it's going to take somebody 7 times in treatment. It could take you once. It could take you 20. But it just, on average, a national average is 7. So as a community, as working with our managed care communities, we have to understand that this is a chronic and relapsing disease. This is not something that's going to be fixed with a pill or a shot. So knowing that, we do have to be prepared for the long haul. I do hope that the crisis is starting to go away, that we're starting to get ahead of it. But the concept of addiction is not going away anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not this, it will be something new or different. I'm sure you remember crack in the 80s, and now we're into opiates in the aughts, in the 2000s. So there's going to be another thing coming. It's just trying to stay ahead of that one as well.
Hmm. If one wants to contact Unison, what do they need to do?
You can call me directly at 419-936-7534 or contact 419 419- 419-214-HOPE, and that will get you to our central line, and they will be able to get you hooked up with anything that you may need.
Very good. Walter Wiehingo, Director of SUD Services from Unison.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having
me. Very informative. And we'd like to thank you for listening to the Urban Beat program. I'm your host, Larry Watley. Have a good day.
The opinions expressed are those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of WJZE, Hot 97.3.